Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan.
Why are you not being able to get through this bit?
I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, why am I laughing?
I'm certainly looking like a top radio DJ compared to you, Sunshine, today. I can't get through the intro back without having a big giggle.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Why am I happy?
Because Abroad in Japan is over, you're releasing videos about rock stars
really
and love
ominous
hotels and all kinds of stuff. You're in fine fettle, clearly.
Maybe I'm happy because I had some fish and chips today.
Yes, probably that.
It was lovely. I went to this little town called Rye. I'm still in the UK. I went to this little town called Rye in Kent, had some fish and chips. And, you
is
know,
it Rye made me the Isle of Wight?
Is there?
Yeah, and they're not that far away from each other. What's
what
that
I like, it made me realise, walking around this old British town, you kind of really appreciate the architecture of the UK. When you live in Japan, most buildings are like 30 years old because they're made out of wood.
Yes.
And it's a shame. It means Japan isn't actually that beautiful when it comes to architecture. Mm. The image that a lot of us have, those nice roof-tiled houses out in the countryside, are often few and far between in big cities.
A lot of corrugated iron.
Yeah, it is. Japan is both not overly attractive, but also kind of cool. You know, if you're into cyberpunk, as I am, Tokyo, Osaka.
A lot of neon.
The cities, you can enjoy the chaos, and it's great.
That'd be a job.
Architectural rant over.
Well, I'm glad you had your fish and chips. What did you have? What is your order? What's your usual order at the fish and chips?
It's fish and chips, isn't it?
Just fish and chips.
Just fish and
you
chips.
You don't have curry sauce. You don't have a pineapple fritter.
Fish and chips.
Not battered sausage.
No.
Why not?
Trying to keep the weight. My weight is not good.
We've established this narrative.
I'm not fit at the moment.
Right. So you're going around eating fish and chips in Rye.
Well,
which is a whiskey.
I want to eat some proper fish and chips before I return to Japan. There's only one fish and chip shop in Tokyo that I know of that does decent fish and chips. Actually, that's a lie. There's two. If you are going to Tokyo, ladies and gentlemen, and you want to go to a decent British pub that isn't Hub.
Right.
The most popular chain is obviously Hub.
You got emotional then when you said Hub.
Everywhere.
Hub.
I'm so excited by the concept of Hub. My voice broke. But there's actually a better chain called Hobgoblin.
All right.
There's about three or four branches. There's one in Shibuya that I'm often in.
Right.
So if you go to Hobgoblin in Shibuya, odds are I'll be sitting alone in the corner drinking cider. Because it's also one of the only places that does cider.
Cider,
Walker's crisps and fish and chips.
Is that the one on the Love Hotel district in upper level?
It certainly isn't. No. Nowhere near.
There's an Irish bar near the Uniqlo. In fact, built into the same building as the Uniqlo. And weirdly, the Hooters.
Get some cheap clothes at Uniqlo, then go and get drunk in the Irish bar.
And you pop to Hooters to watch the food come out.
I actually took a friend to Hooters because it was the only thing open at the time in a place called Akasaka in Tokyo. Yeah. It wasn't very good. It was practically empty.
Right.
And it was just really awkward and uncomfortable. The food wasn't great. It was overpriced.
Isn't that what
didn't
Hooters
like
is
it.
All
Not
about?
Going to Hooters ever again.
I don't understand. I've never been to Hooters. There's only one. I think we spoke about this podcast before, but there's only one Hooters, and it's in Nottingham. That used to be the murder capital of the UK.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't understand the premise. I don't understand how it's a family experience in America. I don't know how it's a family restaurant where all the family goes to and the dads just ogle large chested ladies. I don't understand. not how that works?
Provocative.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to get gunned down by people talking about
men would not need any provocation to make a woman's life uncomfortable.
I don't want to get into a debate because I know some people won't like Hooters.
Right.
I went into Hooters with a girlfriend once and they were so angry at the concept of Hooters. Mm. I don't think it's that provocative, really.
Right. I imagine the one in Japan is like... Bit maid cafe,
I guess. It's a little bit like a maid cafe, but not that good. I wouldn't recommend Hooters in Japan. What I do recommend is Hobgoblin. Get the cider, get the Walker's crisps, get the fish and chips.
Big breasted Hobgoblins serving your drinks.
I'm afraid it's just a British person.
Who's
a guy. But yeah, it's great.
He's a guy in an izakaya. I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Because there's one news story that I'm very excited about that involves flying cars. As somebody that absolutely loves Blade Runner and is excited by the concept of flying cars, even though I hate airplanes, there's a nice bit of news coming up later on this show. But before that, good news as well, I suppose, if you are someone who doesn't have black hair but goes to a school in Japan. Tokyo public schools will stop forcing students with non-black hair to dye it, official promises.
Right.
So basically, it might shock some people, but in Japan, if your hair isn't black, you have to dye it black usually in a school to conform to the standards of a Japanese school.
Right.
The problem arose, though, in Osaka. Now, lots of Japanese people don't have naturally black hair. It can often be like a dark shade of brown or a light shade of brown. And a girl, I think, who was in Osaka, was forced to dye her naturally brown hair black, resulting in damage to her scalp and prompting a 2.2 million yen lawsuit, which is only just $20,000. But that's still a considerable amount of money.
Yeah.
Most people in Japan do have naturally black hair. So It's an odd one, isn't it?
It is an odd one. I think the hair is actually quite resilient to any bleaches or dyes. So I guess you have to use a fair bit of bleach to get it any lighter to obviously colour it any other colour. But it seems I had no idea that if you had any other colour of hair apart from black, you had to dye
it. So if you went to a Japanese school, would you have to dye hair black? Pete Donaldson, in a Japanese public school.
I have dyed my hair black.
I've dyed my hair black as well.
Have you really?
Shockingly black, it was called on the box.
Black.
I did it in my last year at high school.
Mm.
Shockingly black. I thought it would look cool. Mm. I looked like a fucking cartoon character, literally Dennis the Menace, and I got bullied. It was awful. I had to shave my hair off.
When I was interviewing Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, he's clearly gone completely white, and he dyes his little moustache. And if you're really close to him, you can really see the white hairs from his moustache coming through. And you're like, mate, that's just exhausting. You can't just go white, crying out loud.
It seems almost like a breach of human rights to have to dye your hair to a certain colour.
Mm. I can understand school rules. People don't want you walking around like bloody David Bowie, but I mean, still, it's a little strange.
I don't remember what it was like at school when I was a student. I think you couldn't just walk in with like blue hair or green hair. You know, it had to be
I think once you got to about 16, you could kind of do what you wanted with your hair, but very, very strange.
It is, but it's hopeful. If you're for those Japanese people in Tokyo whose hair isn't naturally black, there is hope that they'll have to dye their hair. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. I'd really like some really dark black hair. I've dyed it black before. I've dyed it pillar box red before as well. It didn't look quite as good. But it just means that the problem with anything a bit garish, maybe the technology's come on a bit, but you bleach your hair, which ruins it, but the lovely ammonia smell just goes on and on. And then you put the pillar box red colouring on it, and it is very, very... it just every time you go to the shower, just more of it comes out, and you end up just staining your bath, and your mum goes, Peter, we've spoken about this. I don't need this in the grout.
Well, what better way to enjoy your red hair, your pillar box red hair, than in a flying car?
Right.
Hovering steadily for a minute, which is the headline.
We're going to need more than that, guys, I'm afraid. We're going to need more than a steadily hovering car for 1 minute.
So Japan is trying to push flying cars. Japan's trying to stay ahead of the curb on this
one. Push it into the sky?
Push it into the sky. They're trying to stay ahead of the curb, get to the market early, and develop a flying car. NEC... NEC, has developed a flying car. It flew for a whopping 1 minute, an altitude of 3 metres.
Wow.
With its, I think, four propellers. Nobody was in it. But nevertheless, it was a flying car for 1 minute.
Right, okay. They got 3 metres high.
3 metres high. Mm. That's pretty impressive.
It was held in a gigantic cage. Is it, though? Because you see those...
It was held in a cage so it didn't fly off and just chop someone's head off.
See you later, guys. I think it's... Have you not seen those Dubai cops that have those big drone sort of motorbike things? If they float around on
what?
Those things, yeah.
In Dubai?
Yeah. They're not very impressive.
Dubai cop... What?
Dubai cop little kind of flying motorcycles.
What do you mean flying motorcycles?
They're already in use.
No, they're not.
Flying motorcycles, honestly, they're floating around all over the gaff. It's incredible.
I think you're lying.
I'm
you
not
must
lying.
Be lying. They
I'm
can't
not
be
lying.
How can there be flying police motorbikes that I don't know about?
They just are. They just are.
They just are. I'm looking up straight after.
There was that guy who did the channel a few weeks ago. Do you remember he flew across with the drone?
I remember seeing that, yeah.
Well, he was...
Oh, you mean like a hoverboard?
Yeah, like a hoverboard.
Oh, right, that's not
but
impressive.
He was...
It's not flying.
Well,
car.
The police have like a... It's like a motorbike. It's like a flying motorbike. Yeah. They've got little handles. But the guy did... I think it was Bastille Day. Obviously, there was loads of like, you know, flyovers and stuff, and then he came out. But for some reason, he had an assault weapon. I don't understand. There was this shot of him flying around Paris with an assault weapon in his hands. I'm not really sure why. I don't know what he was doing. Very weird. Maybe I looked at the BBC website.
I think you're making
website.
All this up, and this is some sort of dream you've had, Pete. All of this.
The drone
even the flying cars in
the
Dubai.
The drone man's coming to get me with his AK. Ooh.
But the Japanese government is really backing flying cars. It wants to have them kind of a part of Japanese kind of transport infrastructure in the 2030s.
Okay.
So, not that far off. They're currently creating a huge test course for flying cars in the Fukushima region, not too far from where I live.
Right.
And so, that's quite exciting.
Yeah,
that's a reason for me to go down to Fukushima. That could be a great video. go down there and, like, test out a flying car.
Because if, like, flying cars have been tested, it's not like they can really hide them, because they're flying in the sky. You can't hide it, can you? I like the idea that... in Odaiba they had, I can't remember what car company it was. What's the big car companies in
Toyota.
Japan? It was probably Toyota, you know. They had like a little test circuit. You go around in little mini versions of their cars.
Oh, cool.
Adorable.
Did you do it?
No, because I do know have a driving licence.
Do you need a driver's licence
for
that?
Yeah, they're pretty complex little
Will
machines.
You need a driver's licence for a flying car, though?
Yeah, maybe I'll take my test in a flying car. Maybe that's what I'll do. Lovely old job.
It'll be the last thing you ever do, Pete.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's only going to take one to crash and burn, and they'll just absolutely do it, or they'll be like, yeah, forget it.
Game over.
Mm. Unless the big boys get involved.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, given that the US is trying to push it. Uber wants to have operational flights in 2023.
Right, okay.
And they're planning some demonstrator flights just next year.
Yeah.
So Uber's pushing it.
Where do driver
Japan
copters...
wants to keep up. Dubai apparently already has flying police people.
They do, I've seen them.
Flying policemen and magical hoverboards.
Throwing sand all over the gap.
I'm definitely checking this out.
What is the difference in reliability from the gyroscopic copter to a normal helicopter?
Helicopters are very loud, quite inefficient,
right?
Expensive to maintain.
I mean,
and
all of that.
They require trained pilots,
right?
These kind of flying cars are somewhere in between.
They use electricity.
I think they use electricity primarily. They don't go as high or as fast as helicopters.
Mm.
And they are going to be like Back to the Future.
Crashy, crashy. I'm just scared of the crashy, crashies.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Crashy, crashies.
In the future
it's
of flying vehicles.
Take one. Crashy, crashies.
I'm going to be the first one to get in
some
one.
Some shitty
fire
little
out.
Lithium battery goes pop it a pop, and then crashy, crashy, and then cry, cry. Man on you saying, "Oh dear, we fucked this. Sorry." Yeah. You will see in the future.
Obviously, someone's going to crash a flying car.
The boss of a Japanese flying car company, probably NEC, saying, "I'm so sorry about the crashy crashy." We were being flashy flashy, and we became crashy crashy.
I find your cynical viewpoint on the future of flying cars.
Well, sad. I don't trust people to fly on the.
I believe in flying cars. Do you believe in flying cars, ladies and gentlemen? Mm. I hope so.
Okay.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine.
Today's sponsor, the flying car. Actually, we'll hit
next flying cars.
We'll hit the fax machine. We'll take an ad break, and we'll be back. Is that all right?
Yes.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. you earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret sexy club.
Wow.
Ah, one of Chris's sexy clubs there.
We now turn to Leah from Melbourne, Australia. Ooh. Hi, Chris and Pete. My partner and I went on a trip to Japan in November last year, and one of the places we visited was Takayama. We decided to hire bikes so we could get to all the sights in one day. Mm. We found this little bike shop owned by a very friendly old Japanese man who barely spoke a word of English.
Okay.
He attempted to have a conversation with us, and we could kind of make out that he was asking us where we were from. We told him we were from Australia, and then he smiled and headed to one of the back rooms where he pulled out a family photo album and began to show us pictures of his trip to Australia in 1994, pointing to koalas and kangaroos, laughing and smiling. He was so friendly, even though we could barely understand each other. My question is, do you find people in the rural areas are friendlier and more tolerant of tourists, or were we lucky enough just to find a sweet old Japanese man that loved Australians? Love the podcast, guys. You make my commute to work much more bearable. Lair from Australia.
I mean, I would go to Japan way more if I lived in Australia. It would be so much fun.
I just like this idea of they sort of said, we're from Australia. And the guy just went, come with me.
Wait until you see my koalas.
Wait till you see my photos of koalas and kangaroos. Stereotypes of Australia, the photo album. That is a nice story. That's
that
a great story.
That is a beautiful story. I've got a lot of time for that.
I mean, I think you were just lucky to find somebody who had been to your country, really. But people in rural areas are friendly. Mm. They're a little bit shy at first. But if you just kind of talk to them, they'll talk back.
Mm.
That sounds really patronising. If you talk to them, they'll talk back. No, people in rural areas, especially in Tohoku, North Japan, where I live, people are really shy.
Right.
Compared to Kagoshima, where people are not shy.
Yeah, they're really open.
Yeah. Mm.
Fukuoka is one of... If you're going to visit a city, Fukuoka is one of my
people
favorite,
amazing
because people are lovely there.
So it really depends on where you are. I think if you're in South Japan, if you speak to a stranger, you're much more likely for the interaction to lead somewhere.
Right.
For them to like maybe take you out for drinks or show you around.
Yeah.
Like in the last podcast, one of the last podcasts we did where we talked about kindness from strangers. Go back and watch that if you've watched it. Go back and watch it.
I've always relied on the kindness of strangers.
Exactly.
That is from, I want to say, Calamity Jane.
But yet you did it in the voice of Forrest Gump.
I've always relied on the kindness of... Probably was Forrest Gump, to be fair.
But people in Japan are kind to strangers. We did a whole podcast on that a few weeks back. Mm. Go and listen to it, and you can listen to lots of lovely stories that will warm your heart.
I saw I think he was a Ukrainian man. He was drunk, and he rode a giraffe.
That's a great start to any story. I saw a Ukrainian man that was drunk.
Climbed over the fence in a zoo. It's a wonderful viral video. And he just hopped on the back of a giraffe who immediately did not want him on his back, so knocked him off, and he had another go. He had another climb, and then again the giraffe went, I'll let you sit on it, I ain't going anywhere, and as soon as I'm going to go somewhere, you're going right off, buddy. And he got flung. So yeah, don't try and ride a giraffe. Koalas, do whatever you want with them.
That's one takeaway from this week's podcast.
Exactly. Heather Bramwell, yo Brammers, what's going on? Hi Chris and Pete. As a very pathetic and non-threatening looking human. us too, Heather. I always worry when thinking of travelling alone somewhere that I'll be a prime target for being robbed / scammed. Apart from the scams previously mentioned in the podcast, would you say that Japan is safe for people to travel alone in? Love the podcast and the channel. Keep the good work with both. Heather, yeah, you'll be fine. We always say this.
I think...
I don't even know why it's in this list. It's fine, mate. Don't worry about it.
People definitely worry too much about things.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
First of all, it's going to be fine, Heather. The scam, we did talk about scams a few months ago now, and scams are quite rare. Mm. A few and far between in Japan. It's just if you do get scammed, it's going to be quite costly, and usually the only place you do get scammed on a massive scale is Shinjuku in Tokyo, so exercise caution there. Other than that, Japan is incredibly safe, really low crime rates, everyone is very nice and friendly, generally.
I always find that if you where she was from?
A lot of the questions we get on this podcast are people who are worried about travelling to Japan, or just worried about doing anything. Could be teaching, could be travelling. I often can get anxious about various things, but you realise it's just your mind overthinking things, right?
Well, especially
if you overthink something, you know, the anxiety takes over
massively.
You have to just leap, you have to just go for it
into the unknown. Especially if you live in a city as well, no matter what, if you live in a city and you go somewhere else, you will be fine. I live in London, I've been to, I don't know, Johannesburg and like a few Chinese cities, and you know, Taiwan, and you know, like Malaysia, and the thing that you realise is that just nobody's asked about you. Nobody's
Have you ever
interested.
Had anything bad happen to you on any of your travels? Anything kind of dangerous?
Literally only in Beijing when we went to a karaoke bar that we shouldn't have gone to because they just don't do karaoke there, and just a scam. Ten lads came out and went, we are the Chinese triads, we're going to beat you up if you don't give us some money. And it's like, you just give them 80 quid and then fuck off.
Give them 80 quid and fuck off.
Just give me it. You couldn't fuck off.
But yeah, I mean, Japan is one that easier.
Tried to fight my way out, didn't manage it. You just, a lot of them just pushed me on back onto my
some sort
bum.
Of Kill Bill scenario.
It was. There was
Kill Donaldson.
There were so many of them.
Yeah, honestly, I think you'll find Japan is one of the most wonderful countries to travel alone. I meet a lot of people who do travel around Japan alone. I'm always a little bit envious because I think that'd be quite fun.
Yeah.
But I'm often so busy, I never get to travel that much alone.
It's one of the things where I think I appreciate the weekends with people, but then in the week, I think it's a lot easier to travel alone because nobody's going, I want to do this or I want to do this. And I was like, oh, I've already done that. I want to do my own thing. I want to go to, I don't know, Kamakura.
Kamakura, in your flying car.
In my flying car.
In your flying car.
Baby.
John Wilson.
Yo.
Hi, Chris and Pete. So my best friend and I went to Japan in the spring of 2017, had a blast. But while we were in Tokyo, an embarrassingly funny story happened.
Oh.
The bar has been raised. It's better be an embarrassingly funny story. We checked into our hostel, spoke zero Japanese. When we got to our room, we saw two beds, a small desk and a closed door with some Japanese and a no-smoking symbol. So we assumed it was a boiler room or something.
Right.
4 days passed and we hadn't showered. And when we went back to look for a public shared bath, it was a hostel after all, we found none and it never occurred to us to actually ask the staff. So like the idiots we were, we travelled to the outskirts of Tokyo to this public bathhouse where no one spoke English and we did everything wrong. We were so nervous when we walked in, we walked on tatami mats with our shoes on.
Oh no.
The poor elderly Japanese lady rightfully started freaking out and then attempted to explain how Japanese bathhouses work without speaking English to two idiot American tourists. We had our bath and the people could not have been kinder or more helpful. As a point here I like to make is the only time I've ever seen a Japanese person angry ever was when my friend wore his shoes into a Japanese public bathhouse in Kyoto.
Right, okay.
She, the old woman who was kind of sitting quietly behind the counter leapt up and nearly ripped his head off. So take your shoes off if you're going to a public bathhouse. The story continues, however. We left the public bathhouse and headed back to our hostel. When we got back, I thought I would ask if there was a public bath in the hostel. And the man said, should be in room. I thought, wait, the door. So I went up to my room and sure enough, the closed door with the no smoking sign led to a bathroom with a toilet, bath and everything. My friend and I were so ashamed of our stupidity that we didn't do anything for the rest of the day but wallow in our shame and regret. Thank you, love the podcast. Sincerely, John Wilson. John Wilson, that is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard.
A few questions on that one, John.
You booked a hotel room, went in and then ignored the door leading into the bathroom.
Right, yeah, exactly. So
for no real reason other than there being a no-smoking sign.
4 days passed.
That's so odd.
4 days passed and we hadn't showered. Weird. But
for 4 days?
For 4 days.
Let's discuss this further. For 4 days, John.
But more importantly...
You didn't open the door leading quite clearly to the bathroom in your room. You sort of stood there going, where can the toilet and the bath possibly be?
Where did you do your piddles?
Well... out the window.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, like, would you not assume that there'd be a top... I'm baffled, John, to be honest. Yeah.
Flabbergasted.
Have a shower, mate.
That's one of the most bizarre stories.
Very bizarre. Sorry, John, but that
is... It is pretty embarrassingly funny, though. The moral of the story here, though, ladies and gentlemen, is if you
check
are in a hotel, always open the door.
Yeah.
In the room to your bathrooms.
And know your fire
it's
exits.
Quite obviously
a
door to your bathroom.
Know where your rope ladders are, for crying out loud.
A valuable lesson there learned
that's actually
by John
not,
Wilson.
That's actually not a bad thing to sort of say. If you are travelling alone, and you are a woman, in a lot of countries, they recommend that you don't, that you aren't on the ground floor, if you can possibly manage it, because people can break in and shit.
Yeah.
So you try and go a couple of floors up. But any more than that, in some countries, the fire regs aren't what they are in EU member states, etc. So you got to watch out for that as well. But luckily, Japan being an earthquake zone, all of their buildings have a lot of pretty decent and quite ingenious fire escape situations.
You say that, but there's that's not ladders. Entirely accurate. Oh. I was in a like 20 stories up a hotel once when there was a fire alarm at flipping 4 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
And I was like, oh, how are we going to get down? And there was like a crowded staircase that took about 35 minutes to get down. By which point, luckily there wasn't really a proper fire. It was like someone accidentally hit the fire smoke alarm thing and knocked all the whole triggered the whole hotel. If there had been a fire, I would have been barbecue Chris in about 4 minutes. It was awful. So it really did shake, it kind of shook my faith in not only staying in skyscrapers and hotels, but the kind of fire regulations and Yeah.
Well, I mean, you do eat a lot of hot plate meat, so, you know.
On the upside, though, I did have a hotel room and I knew where the bathroom was. It was behind the door in my room.
Just check
so
the doors.
If you're in Japan and you don't know where your bathroom is, just check the bathroom.
John.
It comes
John,
with every John, hotel John. Room.
Hello, Tim. Tim. Hi, Chris and Beat. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and I have a keen interest in Japanese culture. I just thought I'd let you know that my friends and I love listening to your podcast in the car.
Yes.
Hello. We're currently driving from Bath to the Bath in the UK to Mongolia as part of the Mongol Rally. Which is basically where you buy a crap car under £1,000 and drive it all the way to Mongolia. There's some fantastic rides in these things. They really are. I am to raise charity for raise money for a charity called Cool Earth and a charity of your choice. Your podcast has helped us so far through the storms and heat waves, and I just wanted to say thanks for the awesome work you do. If you don't believe us, our Instagram is Mongolia Rally 2019, and here's a link to our live tracker. By the time you read this, we may or may not have already reached Mongolia, but I thought I'd send a quick email anyway. I think it's a time of compiling the email.
Yes, so I looked up. I looked up where Tim is, and he's in Azerbaijan.
He's got quite far then.
He's done well.
Decent.
What
decent.
A great way to enjoy the Abroad Japan podcast whilst driving from the UK to Mongolia in a crappy car for under £1,000.
Baku, Baku.
Awesome. I'm actually quite jealous. I'd love to do that.
I reckon
we like
nowadays.
Natsuki as the driver. Cigarette in one hand, steering wheel in the other,
cigarette
adventure
burns.
In the other.
He would he'd be smoking on garage forecourts. It would be in a situation. Imagine him sort of dealing with, like, I don't know, the border of, well, like Azerbaijan or like Ukraine, like border patrol guards or something.
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, cool customer.
Best of luck, Tim. And if you do want to check out where Tim is, Mongolia Rally 2019 on Instagram.
Exciting.
See how he's getting on. That is all for now, though, guys.
Yeah,
keep your stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next Wednesday to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Because it's a podcast.
What? Because it's a podcast, you won't be able to see it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.